Looking way back, and I know there was a wee thing about Harvest Thanksgiving and Songs of Praise last weekend. Looking way back, at a time Harvest Thanksgiving seems to have been both a church and a community event. Harvest Festival was celebrated at the beginning of the harvest season on the 1st of August. It was called Lammas Mass, rather than at the end, as we do these days. The local farmers, they baked bread from the first gatherings of the wheat harvest, and that was given to the local church and used in the celebration of what we would call communion. Now, that's why there's a loaf of bread so often on display at Harvest Thanksgiving in our churches of today. Now, I have to say Henry VIII managed to bring all of that to an end in his break with the Roman Catholic Church. Harvest Thanksgiving services in the early 1800s were often more of a national celebration rather than a local one. But gradually, the idea became a popular event in the local church calendar. In one instance, and this man was mentioned in Songs of Praise, in 1843, the Reverend Robert Hawker, rector of a church in Cornwall, invited people to a special service of thanksgiving. And they shared communion together with bread made from the newly harvested grain. That's why in Harvest Thanksgiving services, often a loaf of bread appears. It's historical. It goes way back. Maybe some of you remember, because I remember it in my own church at home. You know, you used to get the loaf of bread in the shape of a sheaf of corn. And they had special molds for making that bread. Popular hymns with a clear biblical message began to be written for Harvest Thanksgiving, and we still sing them today. Harvest Thanksgiving really has to be an important part of the church calendar because it reminds us of a promise fulfilled every single year. Genesis 8 and verse 22. So long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. The harvest has changed. How we gather the harvest in has changed. But the promise has not changed because it was given by an unchanging God. Is Harvest Thanksgiving found in the Bible, or is it just a creation that the church has come up with? Well, yes, it is found in the Scriptures. Deuteronomy 16 tells us that Israel, in fact, celebrated the harvest twice. The Feast of Weeks, Deuteronomy 16 and verse 10, celebrated the first fruits of the harvest, and the Feast of the Tabernacles, also known as the Feast of Ingathering, in verse 13 of that chapter, celebrated the end of the harvest thanksgiving, the end of the harvest season. Exodus 23 and verse 10. You shall keep the Feast of Ingathering at the end of the year when you gather in from the field the fruit of your labors. So in biblical times, people celebrated harvest thanksgiving. Not in the same way as we do today, but they still celebrated it. And these festivals were thought of as great national occasions. All ordinary work stopped, and the people met to celebrate the provision. But more importantly, the provider. Thus, Harvest Thanksgiving has both a historical and a biblical basis. So, what is it we are called this morning at this harvest Thanksgiving and every harvest Thanksgiving service, what is it we're called to do? Well, firstly, we are called to rejoice. You notice in Deuteronomy 16 that word rejoice, those words rejoice and celebrate, are repeated over and over again. Rejoice, be joyful, celebrate. Those are the major themes in that chapter. Rejoice in the provision. But let's not forget the provider. Let's rejoice in the provider. Isn't it so easy to take what God gives? You remember that story of the lepers? They were healed by Jesus, but only one bothered to come back and give thanks. Yes, give thanks for the provision. But let's not forget the provider. Without this gracious provision from God, where would we be? C.S. Lewis, in his book Letters to Malcolm, and I think that's probably one of his lesser known ones, wrote these words: joy is the serious business of heaven. Joy is the serious business of heaven. God calls us to rejoice even when the circumstances seem against it. In even the darkest seasons of our lives, we can know the deep joy of God that only God can give in our hearts. Joy in His love. Joy in His grace. Joy in His provision. Then secondly, we are called to respond. Deuteronomy 16 shows us that the people were not to come before God empty-handed. A freewill offering was to be made. They came to the feast to give as well as to receive. And notice in verse 10, they were to give a freewill offering in proportion to the blessings the Lord has given you. I wonder, is that an early example of the practice we call tithing? Giving as the Lord has blessed us? In 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 7, the Apostle Paul uses a lovely expression about giving. He says, this grace of giving. This grace of giving. And how the Lord loves those who give joyfully, cheerfully, without grudging. Here in Ballywillan, you are generous in your support of the Lord's work. In this church, you are committed to giving. And you will be asked to carry on being faithful in your giving. But always remember this. Keep your giving under review. And now and again, ask yourself this question: is my giving in proportion to how the Lord has blessed me? And always remember this, that sometimes in order to keep the Lord's work moving on, sacrificial giving may be called for. And that may become increasingly the case as our congregations begin to dwindle, become smaller, as is evident in so many places. as the Lord has blessed you, give joyfully to his work. Never let your right hand, as Jesus said, know what your left hand is doing. Just give generously, sacrificially. Jesus talked to the Pharisees about the principle of tithing. And he said, well, yes, you're doing well. You're giving the tenth. But actually, that's all you're doing. Give generously. And I know there's ongoing projects here, and that will, you'll be asked to support those, support them generously. And then thirdly, we are called to remember. The Feast of the Tabernacles celebrated the completion of the harvest. But the Feast of the Tabernacles, also known as the Feast of the Ingathering, kind of double-jobbed, as we would say here. It also celebrated one of the great central events in the history of the Jews, the Exodus, their escape from slavery in Egypt. And they were to remember and never forget the actions of God in leading his people from slavery into freedom and to a homeland. They were to remember the mercy of God and his rescue mission led by Moses. And yes, we too must remember God's mercy and God's rescue mission. John chapter 3, I often call it the gospel in a nutshell. John chapter 3 and verse 16, so well known to us, and probably you could repeat it without having to look it up. And along with the 23rd Psalm, it's probably one of the Bible verses almost anybody could repeat. So let's pause a moment and reflect on these words. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The gospel in a nutshell sums it up. Who gave? God did. What did he give? His one and only Son. Why did he give his one and only Son? That mankind could enter into a relationship with the living God for time and for eternity. You see, God sent the Lord Jesus to show mankind what God is like and to show the kindness of our God. There's a little verse in the Old Testament, I think it's lovely, speaks about the kindness of our God. A lot of people, I think, have this idea of God as some kind of a harsh judge sitting on a great big throne. But that wasn't the God that Jesus showed us. Jesus showed us a God who was rich in mercy, plenteous in grace, who was able to bless us not out of his great riches, but according to his great riches. That's a bit like you having £1 million and you decided to give to the church according to your £1 million. Well, you could give out of your £1 million. That's not the same thing. God gave according to his riches in glory. And the Lord Jesus called people away from the ritual and the outward trappings of religion and into relationship with Him. And that's what it is to know God. To get beyond the ritual and the outward and into a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Such is the gracious invitation of our God. And it's open to any and to all. It's open to us here today, this morning, in this service. And Jesus will welcome us. And in Him we find forgiveness for sin. And in Him we find the great burden bearer. We touched on it. Life has its seasons. Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 1 tells us this. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. Life changes. The world changes. Things move on. They come in seasons. Seasons of joy. Seasons of sorrow. But in every season of life, there's the Lord Jesus. He's coming to us. There's a lovely little song. I've begun to take an interest in watching. You can look them up on YouTube, City of Light. And they have a lovely little, it's a children's hymn really, but Jesus, strong and kind. Go to YouTube, listen to those words sometime. Jesus says that when I thirst, I should come to Him. But the very last verse turns it round and says this, Jesus says, when I am lost, He will come to me. We can turn to Him. As the song says, we can run to Him. But when it comes right down to it and our need is the ultimate need, He will come. When we feel that all is lost, He will come to us. He comes to us, ministering to us, helping, healing, encouraging. The Lord Jesus truly is the man, the God for all seasons. Shall we take a moment just to pray together? Let's pray. Father, we've come with thanksgiving this morning. Thanksgiving for the harvest. Thanksgiving for Your goodness to us. Thanksgiving for Your blessing. Help us to thank You for the provision. But help us to remember that You are the provider, that every good and gracious gift comes from Your hand. And Father, we remember that at one point in history, You stepped in with a rescue mission for Your people, Israel. You led them from slavery to freedom, to a homeland. And we remember today that the Lord Jesus was sent to rescue mankind. To rescue us from sin, from darkness, and bring us to light and to life. And then ultimately, to a homeland. And so help us to be humble before You. Acknowledge, Father, that we have sinned. And to call upon Your name, thanking You for Your grace. and then to consider moving from the ritual and the outward to the inner and the real. That real relationship with you. Amen. We join to sing the praise, Rejoice.